Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Father Joseph Gimbala is our pastor, Zach Murphy and Ursula Kraus are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is the first in a series of three about the temple, and part one is the tabernacle. But as all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son to bring your word into our world. Open our hearts that your will might enter into us and motivate us to share what we learn with a world struggling for meaning. Holy Spirit, guide us in our studies and lead us to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the Word speaks to the human race. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And all creation was like a temple in which God's presence dwelt. But the peace and solitude was disrupted by the lies of a demon, and mankind was driven from the garden, east of Eden, and barred from reentry. The Word speaks to Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your land, your relatives, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will find blessing in you." Sometime afterward, God put Abraham to the test and said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," Abraham replied. And then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him up as a burnt offering on one of the heights that I will point out to you." And early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and after cutting the wood for the burnt offering, set out for the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham caught sight of the place from a distance. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go on over there. We will worship and then come back to you." So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two walked on together. Isaac spoke to his father Abraham. "Father," he said, "here I am." He replied, Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "My son," Abraham answered, "God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering." And then the two walked on together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Next, he bound his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood on the altar. And then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. So here we have the near sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the angel. "Do not do the least thing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you did not withhold from me your son, your only one." And Abraham looked up and saw a single ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. A second time the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by my very self, oracle of the Lord, that because you acted as you did and not withholding from me your son, your only one, I will bless you and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth will find blessing, because you obeyed my command." And now we have the Word speaking to Moses and the chosen people on Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord had come down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. This smoke, this appearance of the Lord, will be known as the Shekinah. The word speaks to Moses, Exodus chapter 20. Then God said all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or a likeness of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their ancestors' wickedness on the children of those who hate me down to the third or fourth generation, but showing love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not invoke the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished anyone who invokes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord. You shall not do any work, either you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your work animal, or the resident alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And when Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered with one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." So Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord, and rising early in the morning, he built at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 sacred stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord further spoke to Moses and said, "You shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Plate it inside and out with pure gold, and put a molding of gold around the top of it. Cast 4 gold rings and put them on the 4 supports of the ark, 2 rings on one side and 2 on the opposite side. Then make poles of acacia wood and plate them with gold. These poles you are put through the rings on the sides of the ark for carrying it. They must remain in the rings of the ark and never be withdrawn. In the ark you are to put the covenant which I have given you. You shall then make a cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Make 2 cherubim of beaten gold for the 2 ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other at the other end, of 1 piece with a cover at each end. The cherubim shall have their wings spread out above, sheltering the cover with them. They shall face each other with their faces looking toward the cover. This cover you shall then place on the top of the ark. In the ark itself you are to put the covenant which I will give you. There I will meet you, and there from above the cover between the 2 cherubim on the ark of the covenant, I will tell you all that I command you regarding the Israelites." And so the ark of the covenant was made, and it was carried, and wherever it was taken, it was carried by these poles. Now the Lord continued to say to Moses, "See, I have singled out Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with a divine spirit of skill and understanding and knowledge in every craft, in the production of embroidery and making things of gold, silver, or bronze, in cutting and mounting precious stones, in carving wood, and in every other craft. As his assistant, I myself have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. I have also endowed all the experts with the necessary skill to make all the things I have commanded you. the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant with its cover, all the furnishings of the tent, the table with its utensils, the pure gold menorah with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar for burnt offerings with all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the service cloths, the sacred vestments for Aaron the priest, the vestments for his son and their ministry, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the sanctuary. According to all I have commanded you, so shall they do. And so God commands Moses and all the Israelites to make a tent of meeting. And here we see a view of it, and it has posts all around that are set in feet of bronze, and they are guided by tent pegs and braced, and linen, white linen is stretched between them, and they make an enclosure. The entrance is a woven cloth of purple, blue, and red with white interspersed within it, embroidered, and that is the entry point to the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting would be parked in the middle of the encampment. So as Israel, as Moses leaves Mount Sinai and begins the 40-year trek across the wilderness, the tent is always moved and reassembled and put in the very center, and then the tribes are put in order as it shows here. And then there is smoke that is always seen above, a cloud-like smoke, always seen above the Ark of the Covenant, and this is the Shekinah, the Spirit of God, who was with the Israelites during their journey. Once again, here we see the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And here's a better view of what that tent of meeting looked like. We see the entry area. We see the people go in. They bring a sacrifice. Well, first they have to be purified. They have to abstain from a lot of things for at least a day, and they have to then come in. And they come in with their animal. The animal must have no blemishes on it. And they present the animal to the priests. The animal is then slaughtered on the tables and then roasted over the altar of sacrifice. Behind that, we see a big, it looks like a water tank, and that's exactly what it is. It's a basin, and the priests go that far. Nobody can go that any farther than that. And they wash themselves and purify themselves to enter into the tent of meeting. And the tent of meeting has a fabric door on the front of it. So here's what the tent of meeting looks like. We see the fence all around. We see here's the altar of sacrifice, so the people could come there. And then they could pray there, but they would not go farther. The priests would then go and do ritual washing before they enter what's called the holy place. And within the holy place, there is an altar for incense. There is a menorah, the light of the world. And there is a table of showbread, the 12 loaves of flatbread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. There is another curtain, and beyond that is the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies. Here's a view of what that outside would look like. The wooden acacia wood posts were honed into a square, straight shape. They had hammered gold applied to them. They had silver brackets at their feet that they were set up in. And there was a wall on each side and at the back, but the front was a tapestry of this purple, red, and blue, and white embroidery. And that was the gate, an entry point into the tent of meeting. The tent also had numerous, covers over it. One was the same type of tapestry as at the entry. Another was goat skins, and another was animal hide. And this was erected over the top every time the tent was set up. Now, what's the worship here? The flow of worship. Yeah. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus. So even here we see the Lord represented. So here's the flow of worship. The people that want to make a sacrifice come to the entry gate. And we read in John chapter 10, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So here's an act of faith. They come to that point. They're going through the gate, and Jesus is the gate. Then they go to the sacrifice. And John chapter 1 tells us, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then they go to the ritual washing, and this is for the priests. And so John chapter 10 tells us, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So the priests should be making that dedication of their lives. Then we have inside the tent, we have the temple of showbread. This is the 12 loaves of flat bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's a flask of wine in the center. And we read in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, he will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. On the opposite side of the holy place, we have the menorah. The menorah is a center stem with three branches on each side. This is a seven-branch menorah. People could not have a seven-branch menorah in their house. They could have a nine-branch menorah in their house that was used at the time of Hanukkah, but this menorah can only be held in the holy place. And so, as we see the light here in this space, we read in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then we have the altar of incense. And we have from John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. And then finally, we have the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark would be placed in the last chamber of the tent. And we have from John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. So the tabernacle foreshadows the coming of Jesus, but it also organizes how the Israelites should worship. Now, there was more to it than just the tent of meeting. There was also the priest vestments. So the priests would wear a turban of white linen. They would have a gold band on their head, which and the words inscribed on it was, Holy is the Lord. They would have onyx brackets on their shoulder straps with the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel, six on one bracket and six on the other. They would then wear a breastplate with 12 stones. Their ephod would be blue linen. They would have a white linen tunic under that. And then they would wear a sash of this red, blue, and purple woven fabric, similar to the entrance to the tent. And on the hem of their ephod, there would be pomegranate ornaments and bells. Why pomegranates? Pomegranates are so numerous. When you cut it open, there's seeds everywhere. So it's the benevolence of God, you know, is shown in that. And then they would have bells, and they would wear sandals. Now, the breastplate was woven of that same red, blue, purple, and white fabric. Stones were arranged in three across and four columns, or three columns and four rows, and they were arranged in the order of the birth of the sons of Jacob. So Reuben was the first, and it was a ruby or sardius. The second one was Simeon, the third is Dan. So they were arranged in that way, and you can see in this picture how those were actually arranged. Now, the people of Israel took the Ark of the Covenant for 40 years. They finally got to the Jordan River, and Joshua is now with them. And Joshua tells the priests to step into the river. And so the priests who are carrying the Ark step into the river, and as they do, immediately the waters stop flowing. There's a wall of water that's built up, and then everybody crosses over on dry ground, and then Joshua commands them to step out of the river, and when they do, the river resumes its flow. And this occurs at a place called Gilgal, where they erect a stone monument. So the Ark of the Covenant comes up from the south. They get to Gilgal. They cross the Jordan River. And then over some period of time, it finds a more or less permanent home in a place called Shiloh. And it's erected there, and it stays there. Now, there's a battle in the time of Eli, and the Ark is lost. So it's taken to Philistine cities. They pass it around. It keeps destroying all their cities, and so they finally give it up. And it goes back to a place called Beth Shemesh, and then it goes to Kiriath Yearim, and there it stays until David comes along, and he wants to build a place for it, and he wants to take it to Jerusalem, to the new city. So here's a picture of the people recovering the Ark. So How is he made king? Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we read, "Then all Israel gathered around David in Hebron, and they said, 'Look, we are your bone and your flesh. In the days past when Saul was still king, it was you who led Israel in all its battles. And now the Lord your God has said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel. You shall be ruler over my people Israel.' And all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and at Hebron David made a covenant with them in the presence of the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel in accordance with the word of the Lord given through Samuel." So there's much contention and separation of the tribes. During the time of King Saul, there's arguments, there's difficulties. When Saul is killed in battle, David is proclaimed the king over Judah, and he's in Hebron, but not over the other tribes. And then they finally come to him and say, "We want you to be king over a united Israel." So David resolves to not pick a city, either in the north or the south, but to come up with a new capital city that is located between the north and the south, and he picks Jerusalem. But the only problem is Jerusalem's occupied by Canaanites called the Jebusites. So he chooses a small band of soldiers, and he enters the aqueduct system that serves from the springs of Gihon into the city. He comes up in the middle of the city with his soldiers. They surprise everyone. They capture the city easily. And so he names it Jerusalem, City of Peace, and he declares it will be the capital city of all Israel, north and south tribes together. And he soon makes preparations to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the new city, into the City of Peace. So when he does, David dances before the Ark of the Covenant, and he dances in his white ephod, and he's very excited and over the top, and everybody sees him dancing before the Ark, and they bring the Ark into the new city of Jerusalem. A little bit later, we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that the Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you when your days have been completed and you rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring after you, sprung from your loins, and I will establish his kingdom. He it is who shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever. So what's happened is David has told Nathan that he wants to build a house for the Ark. And Nathan comes back and says, your family will be the house of David. The house of David will be the lineage from which the Messiah of the world will come. So King David purchases land from a man called Araunah on Mount Moriah. Remember that? Mount Moriah, the same place where Abraham took Isaac. And he starts putting materials together so that his son can build the temple. He knows he's not supposed to build it, so he waits. Now, Araunah tries to give him the land when he finds out what he wants to do, but David says, no, I'll give you a fair market price, and so he does. He buys the field of Araunah, and he begins stockpiling these materials on the site. Okay, so the Lord seeks to draw his chosen people closer to him, and he gives Moses instructions for keeping and transporting the law on tablets and in an ark. That's what we talked about tonight. And the tabernacle, where worship will be celebrated, is described in great detail and is to be placed in the center of the camp whenever Israel stops during its 40-year journey to the Promised Land. And when King David achieves peace all around, he plans to build a temple, a permanent house that the ark can be kept in. But it will remain for King Solomon to complete this task of building the temple. Okay, so let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.